Psalm 28 in the New King James Bible. Psalm 28, a psalm of David. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of Jehovah, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be Jehovah, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Jehovah is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. Excuse me. Here in this Psalm 28, well, first of all, in the New King James Version, at least the one I'm holding, it's titled by the editors, Rejoicing in Answered Prayer. And just like last week, that it is certainly that, but it's far more than that. And again, it's looking more deeply into the psalm, we see that not just rejoicing in answered prayer, but rejoicing in praise in a fulfilled covenant, in a covenant of grace that has been purchased and can be trusted. Again, this is titled the Psalm of David, but this is truly a Psalm of Jesus, just like all of them in the series that we're looking at. And it starts out with Jesus in the flesh on earth, crying out to the Father in heaven. This is probably looking at the context, looking at the way it's put together, as he's on the cross or going to the cross. It begins, to you I will cry out, O Jehovah, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my prayers. That's what supplications mean, children. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Now, the image here, of course, is someone in great distress, someone who has serious problems, crying out to God. But look, he's not asking for deliverance from what's happening here. But it's crying out for God to see him, to give heed to him, that he not go down to the pit or to Sheol, as it would be put. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. This is something that we see all the time. But again, primarily, if you look at the way Jesus was treated on earth during his last 48 hours or so on earth, you'll see that quite a bit. Now, these next two verses are kind of controversial. Let's look at these. Look, starting in verse 4 there. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of Jehovah, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. If you read a modern commentary on the Psalms, you'll find that this is a pre-Christian, unchristian attitude that you see in the Psalms, because they didn't know things right. This is Jesus speaking. And this is him calling condemnation down on those who knew who he was and sought to destroy him anyway, who knew what Jehovah had taught, what their Bibles taught, and turned away from it to their own false religion. They were destroyed. They were put down. To see this, you see, we need to realize and remember that God is a God of vengeance as well as a God of grace. But primarily to his people, he is a God of grace. Now, look at how the psalm moves along. It calls for prayer, calls for remembrance so he doesn't go down to the pit, looks at those who are persecuting him, and then in verse 6 it changes. Blessed be Jehovah, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. And I see this as just as he starts to say, it is finished, when he saw salvation being purchased. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. So we see Jesus now praising the Father for accomplishing what the covenant promised. And then the last two verses, it looks first to Jesus, the persecutors, the Father, and now to us, his people. Jehovah is their strength, looking to all those in the covenant. And he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Now, kids, or anybody that just blew past that without paying attention, again, in the Greek, that would say, he is the saving refuge of his Christ. In Hebrew, it would say, this is the saving refuge of his Messiah, or Mashiach. But we would, you know, transliterate that as Messiah. This is quite clearly teaching the Father and the Son as same God, but separate persons. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. We have a promise here that Father through the Son is the saving refuge of his anointed, but he saves his people as well. Blesses his inheritance, which is us, shepherding them, not leaving them alone in this world, and bearing them up forever. We see this as a psalm again as of the accomplished covenant of grace. And we have the good promises here at the end for the church through all time. Again, properly understood, the Psalms are great hymns for the modern church, not just old age stuff for the Hebrews. Now, we'll sing this psalm in its entirety, I believe, yes. We'll sing version B. And when we get to the last two verses there, let's make this a prayer of thanksgiving for our God who can be trusted and has promised to be with his people.